iTunes. And remember what we're talking about. We're talking about tuning our heart in. Tuning our heart into what God has to say to us and what we are to have as far as our heart. You know, last week we talked about, anybody remember what we talked about? A believing heart? How many of you believe that's important? Without faith, it's what? It's what? Impossible to what? Please God. And we talked about the difference between faith and belief and all those things. Now this week though, I got something totally awesome. Totally awesome. And as we have done in the past, we're going to start this message off with a little video clip of songs that may send us in the direction that we're going to go. And this one happens to be, it's the best. This is the best in my opinion, all right? Well, I don't know. The one for the staff was pretty good. Okay, so watch this video. Let's see where we're going.
Don't believe me, just watch. Ow!
All right, that ain't where we're going.
Open Gangnam Style.
Open Gangnam Style. That's crazy, isn't it? Check this one out. Oh. Come on, that's funny, y'all. If you grew up when I grew up, that is hilarious. Right? How about this? Uh-oh. MC Hammer. I love the pants. They're coming back. How about this? Hop, a hippie, the hippie, and a hippie, hip hopping. You don't stop rocking to the. Say, I'm chunk a boogie to the rhythm of the boogity beat. Y'all don't know this? It's not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, my friends, and. Yeah, I know every word of it. If you don't know what that is Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang, 1979, first rap song ever produced. First rap, and yes, I know every word of that song. And I am such a good father, I mentored my son in that song to where my son and I sing it together, praise God. Now you gotta know that I was a kid, yes, you know, and I was a DJ, all right. In 1985, I started working at the skating rink, all right. I was 12 years old. And let me tell you, that song right there, I'm a hip, a hop, a hippie did a hippie did a hippie hip, a hop, and you don't stop rocking. And I went over to a friend's house to eat, and the food just ain't no good. I mean, the macaroni soggy, the pizza mushed, and the chicken tastes like wood. I mean, I know the whole song, front to back, I'm telling you. I love that song. Now, some of you are offended at it. I apologize. But listen, the name of the song, the title of the song, can I tell you, we were talking about this this week in the staff. We've got to be the only church I've ever heard of that can pull something like this off. We got to be the only place. Hey, but listen, here's the truth. Here's what I know for sure. I know people listen to secular music anyway. You know what I mean? And all I'm doing is I literally had someone this week tell me this. Get this. They said, Pastor Charlie, I was listening to a song just the other day, and I started thinking about God while I was listening to that secular song. And I thought, that's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. I'm trying to use things that you experience each and every day for God to speak to your heart. And you can. And how many of you believe God can do it? God can speak to you. He can use anything to speak to your heart. So we're just using music during this series. Now, get this. The name of the song is called what? Rappers. Come on, help me. I can tell I'm not in the neighborhood I grew up in. It's called Rapper's Delight. Rapper's Delight. And you say, Pastor Charlie, what kind of message could you possibly get out of that? Here's what I want to talk about. Master's Delight. You say it's a little play on words. I know, but it was the best I could do, y'all. It was the best I could do. Because here's the truth. I told the staff, I'm using that song. I don't care if I have to make up a whole message around it. I'm telling you, I love that song. And we were going to use that song. And we were going to, because we had pop rock. We had rock. We had last week, we had Don't Stop Believing, Journey, you know. This week, though, Master's Delight. The Master's Delight. What is the Master's Delight when it comes to your heart? What is His delight? What is His delight? This entire series really has been about your heart. tonight, I want to flip it. I don't want to talk about your heart. Oh, I want to talk about your heart, but I really want to talk about his heart for you. That's what I really want you to get a hold of. The smoke. No, I'm being serious. I need a drink. I really want to talk about his heart for you and how it affects you and how it should affect you. Listen to this. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible tells us a little bit about in the sense God and who God is. All right, let me get this right. Here, check this out. Check this out. These are some Hebrew names of God. Listen to this, some Hebrew names of God. Hebrew names of God, number one, Elohim. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1 is where you find that. In the beginning was, come on, anybody know? In the beginning, God created. How about that? In the beginning, God created. The word God there is Elohim. 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 What does that have to do with? It means creator God. That's what it says in your Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, the creator God. Now, you go into a little bit further into Genesis 1, 24, 25, 26, all that, and then you'll find this word, Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh is the term that gives you the idea of covenant. It gives you an idea of, get this, God keeping his word. It is, so when he created Adam and Eve, he didn't use the word in the Bible. The word Elohim is not used. The word what? Yahweh Elohim, covenant-keeping creator. He wanted mankind to know right out of the get-go, when I make you, I'm going to keep my word to you. I am a covenant-keeping, covenant-making. If I say it, then it will come to pass over your life. And you find all these things being revealed in the word of God. Really what you find for 4,000 years of the Old Testament, God is revealing himself in different ways to different men and women in the Bible. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, he did that to Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham was 90 years old and he had a problem. He wanted a son. Y'all ain't connecting the dots? He was not, and they didn't have that commercial back then. All right? And so there was a problem there. Y'all know where I'm going, but I ain't got to go there, you know? But you see where I'm coming from, all right? And God said, no, 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 Abraham, you don't have to sweat it. You don't have to sweat it because I'm the Lord God Almighty. I can do anything. I can do anything. So Abraham related to God with that word right there, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. He's Lord God Almighty. Then you go down to Jehovah, Yahweh Rapha, or Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord our healer. And you got all these different names of God. The Lord is our banner. His banner over us is love, the Bible says. The point I'm trying to make is that all through for 4,000 years, God is revealing his nature and who he is. When we name our kids, oftentimes we just pick a name that we like. God's not like that. When God says he is something, he is something. That name is something to him. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? He believes what he says. And he believes what he says he is, he is. All right? So all those names reveal a little bit about who he is. Now, get this though. Although those are cool names to look up and to study, none of them really reveal who really the heart of God is. None of them really even do justice to who the heart of God really is, to what he feels about himself. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, what is the one thing that God wants you to know about him? Here it is. You ready? Here's what he wants you to know right here. Mark 14, no, look at Mark 14, 36. For some reason, it is not coming up on my thing. Mark 14, 36. Can you bring up Mark 14, 36? Here's what he said. And he said, Abba, Father. Everybody say, Abba, Father. Look at it. Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. This is Jesus there at the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Abba, Father. How did Jesus relate to God? He called him Abba, Father. Now hear me out. Check it out. We don't talk like this in our world. We don't talk like they would have back then. But let me tell you what Jesus was really saying. Translated into our vernacular, it would be like saying, Daddy God. That's what it would be like. Daddy God. How many of you know daddy is a very endearing, close-knit, tight term. You just wouldn't call anybody daddy. Even for a grown man to call their dad daddy is a little weird. Come on, for real. I mean, I never called my dad daddy unless I was little. But I did call him dad. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? But Jesus was so comfortable with God the Father, he called him daddy, daddy. And God himself was his father. Remember Jesus' baptism. The Bible says that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. He came up out, this is Matthew chapter 3. He came up out of the water. When he came up out of the water, here's what happened. The Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove, and he heard a voice speaking from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son. My beloved Son. Before Jesus ever did a miracle, before Jesus ever did anything, he was established as a son. And before God did anything with Jesus, he wanted to know he was his father. That there is a father-son, father-daughter relationship with God. And if there's one thing you want to know about God, it's this right here. He is first and foremost a father. He is a father. If you want to know what God is, if you can translate every Bible verse in the Bible through the idea that he is a father, you'll always get the right interpretation of the verse. Always. The reason people get off in religious ideas and different things is because they forget the fact that God is a father. They forget that he is a father. And listen, now, check this out. You and I's heart here tonight, we should have hearts as sons and daughters, as sons and daughters. That should be our hearts. That should be our hearts, that we know that we are sons and daughters of God. Check this out. Look at Romans 8, I believe it is. Romans 8, verse 15. Look at Romans 8, 15, if you would. Grace, I still got it messed up for some reason. I programmed it, I can tell. You did not receive, let's check this out, verse 15 of Romans 8. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear." Hey, everybody, look at me, check this out. That verse is speaking to religious people. Speaking to religious people. You did not receive the spirit of fear and bondage. You didn't receive that when you got saved. When you gave your heart to Christ, you shouldn't have a fearful expectation of God. You should not be scared of God. Should you have holy reverence? Yeah. Should you revere him? Yes. But how many of you know, if you're fearful of your earthly father in an ungodly way, how many of you know there is a godly fear that you should have of your father? I took you in, I take you out and make another one just like you. That, I know what I'm saying, Y'all don't talk like that. We don't abuse our kids, I promise. But hey, check this out. But how many of you know there is a, how many of you been around, and I'm sure we all have, been around families where there's an ungodly fear of someone? An unhealthy. It's not a reverence. It's not a respect or honor. It's an abuse. Most Christians walk around with abused mindsets of God the Father. They walk around with a fearful expectation of him. He's like the cosmic force that's going to slam them if they do anything wrong. It's a wrong expectation. And I'll tell you that what does more damage than that is when a church adopts that philosophy of God the Father, then they put that on all their people. So then what happens is in a church like that is, if you don't line up with my little idea of church, then we're going to shun you and put you out and treat you wrong. How many of you know that is ungodly? That's not what your Bible says to do, praise God. We serve a God the Father who is God the Father. He's a Father. If your heavenly Father loves you and cares about you, if you had an earthly Father that was good to you and kind to you and treated you well, then his love for you is that plus all that much greater. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? We have received, but look at this, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out what? Abba, or Daddy Father, Daddy God. One of the things that I have some childhood memories that are pretty crazy about my dad. Most of you may or may not know, but at 9 years old, my dad went away to prison. That wasn't a memory that I'm talking about. But before that, I remember one of my first memories of my father really stepping in for me is we had chickens and roosters, all right, when I was a kid. And I remember a rooster attacking me. You know, roosters are mean. Yeah. My dad saw that. Guess what? It got violent quick. He nailed that thing up in the barn and chopped its head off right there. How many of you know I was forever struck with a memory of some? I was like, wow, he killed that thing. I was like, don't mess with that, Dad. You know, but my father just flipped out on the chicken, man. Guess what was for dinner? But on a serious note, how many of you know that's what fathers do? Fathers have this real sense of guardianship and watching over and making sure, man. I mean, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't need to tell anybody. And I'll say it this way. Any father that doesn't stick up for their kids, and I'm not talking about helicopter parenting. Anybody ever heard that term? You know, helicopter parenting is like if you can't let your kid fall down or not. No, we let our kids make mistakes, especially under our house. Why? If they make mistakes under our house, we can help them. Once they get out on their own, they parachuting. Better pull the cord, baby. All right? But y'all hear what I'm saying, though. But every father has this sense of guardianship and loyalty and watching over their kids. And listen, our father is a good dad. Our father is a good father. He cares. When we talk about the master's delight, talking about your heart's a stereo, I want your heart to think of God each and every day that he's a loving father. He's a caring father. He's a patient father. He's a long-suffering father. He's a father that knows your ins and outs and how you're wired. He knows your shortcomings. He knows when you fail. He knows how to get you to the next place. He knows all those things about you. He's a good father, amen? Hey, listen to this, check this out. There are things, though, I believe, that keep us from receiving and living in the idea that he is a good father. Check this out. I believe Satan, how many of you know Satan will rob you? How many of you believe that Satan is the first perverter of God the Father? He doesn't want you to see God as a father. He doesn't want you to see him as a loving, merciful, giving, loving father. He doesn't want you. Think about it in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, whenever Adam and Eve showed up there in the Garden of Eden, you remember God? God was like, hey, have freely of the garden. Have everything you want. Just don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God did not want mankind's mind corrupted with good and evil. Amen? He didn't want that. He didn't want that for us. He's a good father, you know? It'd be like you telling your kids, hey, listen, don't go play in the street. Now, you could have 25 acres, but guess what they're going to be drawn to? Yeah. Yeah. And electric fences are illegal, apparently. But whatever. Hey, but check this out. They're going to be drawn to, it's human nature. Now, watch this. Remember in the garden, Genesis 3. Remember what Satan said. Well, God said, you could have every tree because he doesn't want you to have that tree because he knows if you do, you'll be like him. And now think about the mindset that it takes to buy into that. The mindset was this. Here it is. God is holding out on you. God is holding back something from you. God loves everybody except you. My goodness, I could wear you out just on this principle. The fact that most people believe the lie of Genesis 3 is still going on today. That God wants to bless everybody but you. God wants to do something in everybody's life except yours. You know, and the devil sells everybody that bag of goods. That God's willing to do anything for everybody except you. God's holding out on you. God's holding back from you. God would bless you if you'd pray more. God would bless you if you'd give more. God would do this if you would this. It's all based on your performance. It's all about God holding back from you. And I'm here to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. There is nothing in me that wants to hold blessings back from my kids. Right? And listen, how many of you know the Father God's love for you is far greater than that? Yeah. It delights the Master. Here's what the Bible says. He says, the Bible says, he delights in the prosperity of his people. He delights in that. He delights in you being blessed. He delights in you rejoicing. He delights in it. Now think about it this way. Is he also not broken when you're broken? My goodness, I can tell you, when my daughter or my son is broken, how many of you know it just tears you up on the inside? You wish you could help them, even though you can't do nothing. We're running into situations in our lives where, you know, our kids, they make decisions and they do things, and we can't help them. But how many of you know it still hurts your heart? Amen? Listen to this. Traditions. Traditions rob people from seeing God as God the Father. Some people have religious traditions that teach that God is like this whack-a-mole God. He can't wait to slam dunk you if you mess up. They're more interested in God throwing down lightning bolts than God giving you grace and mercy. I'm telling you, traditions will rob you. Don't listen to what everybody, well, for sure, don't listen to a bunch of unsaved people talk about God, because they will mess it up. How about this? Our carnal mind will mess with us. Our mind will tell us that God is against us, when the Bible tells us it's completely contrary. Here's the last one. You can write this one down. Our past will tell us. It'll tell us there in no way God could use me. There's no way God could bless me. Don't you know I got skeletons? Don't you know I'm messed up? Don't you know I messed this up and I messed that up? Don't you know? I'm here to tell you, God knows. Your stupidity was already figured into the equation. 2,000 years ago, he sent Jesus Christ to a cross to bear the sin of all of us. Why? Because he knew we would blow it. Yeah, he knew we would blow it. He knew we would blow it, but he's a good father. How many of you know that my kids blow it and I can see it coming most of the time? I'll even try and warn them because I'm a good father. Remember the first time my kids started playing with a light socket, I said, don't touch that. You'll be grounded. Oh, you'll get that later. I really didn't. I didn't say anything. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I did. I'm just funning. Hey, listen to this. Listen to what this Bible verse says right here. It says, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Come on, is that right? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. This is what God says about you. I know the plans. Listen, you can have your plans. And you can work out your plans. And you can do life your way. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can live your whole life and not live the plan of God out for your life. But God says, I know the plan I have for you. I know the plan I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. No, I believe, Pastor Charlie, that God threw cancer on Grandma to teach her something. Let me tell you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Anything that has anything to do with killing, stealing, and destroying is sent by the enemy. What about Job? It was sent by the enemy. Read your Bible. It was sent by the enemy. Anything that kills, steals, and destroys, where do you get that? Well, I got a verse, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly, and that's a kicking name for a church. Just saying. Listen, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Every good, look at this, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and hope and future. I remember one time I did a series called, it was back maybe 7-8 years ago, when that song was still being played on the radio a little bit. That song, My Future's So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades. Might remember that song? Gotta go way back, but y'all get what I'm saying. I did a series called My Future's So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades. Seriously, because I believe that. I believe that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter, as the Bible says, until the coming of that day. That our path as believers grows brighter and brighter. Every day I should grow deeper and deeper and closer to the Father God. See, he's not, check this out. You ready for something cool? I'll show you one thing right here. I got a little bit of time. Yeah, even if I don't. Check it out. Jesus, his whole earthly ministry, he called God, God the Father. God the Father, God the Father. I will pray to the Father and he will send another, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I will talk to the Father. I will talk to the Father. I prayed to the Father for you, Peter, that you might not fall. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He said the Father, the Father, the Father. Check this out. Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. If not, nevertheless, let your will be done. Father, Father. There's only one time you find Jesus saying anything other than that. He's on the cross. He's hanging on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's very interesting, isn't it? His whole earthly ministry, Father, Father, Father. He related to God as a father. How should we relate to God? As a father. What is the master's delight? It's the fact that you would relate to God as a father. He's a father. Now get this. The only time Jesus ever did not relate to God as father is when he took upon your sins on the cross. God had to shut his presence off from Jesus. He had to forsake Jesus so he could become the sin offering. It was the first time Jesus had ever felt God as God and not as Father. Think about what I'm saying. It's the first time Jesus had ever related to God as God. Up until that point, 33 and a half years, Jesus only knew him as a Father. But when he took the sins of the world, he recognized him as God. God. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? How are we to relate to God the Father? As a father. We're sons and daughters. We've been given the spirit of adoption. You want to hear the powerful thing about adoption? This is true legally. If you adopt a child, do you know there's no way you can deny that child from that point on? You can't give that child back. See, if you have a child, you can give up that child. But once you adopt a child, do you realize you can't then give that child back up? Even if the child wasn't yours. So if you get married and you adopt a child and then something happens in the marriage, you can't give that child up because once you're adopted into the family, you're adopted forever. It's pretty powerful, man. Think about what I'm saying. You are forever a child of God. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, don't you believe in backsliding? I believe it happens. I don't know why we got to talk about that. We're talking about God the Father. Y'all hear what I'm saying? How many of you want to backslide? You're not here on a Saturday night if you want to backslide, right? No way, cuz. And let me just assure you of this. I don't believe it's as easy as people say. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's easy at all. I believe you got to purposely do it. But anyway, I ain't got time for all that, for real. But check this out. Look at this. Look at this next thing I want you to see. Listen to this. If there's three things I could tell you about God's heart, God, the heart of God, the heart that he has for you. Three things. I'm going to give them to you. You ready? I want you to know this about God's heart for you. The heart of God is this for you. You ready? If you're taking notes, you can write this one down. Number one, God's heart for you is goodness. Everybody say goodness. Goodness. It is goodness. His heart for you is goodness. Look at this. Look at this verse. This is a powerful verse right here. James 1:16. Look at this. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Do not be deceived. Everybody look at me and say, do not be deceived. Y'all sound like robots. Do not be deceived. All right. It'll work, though. Check it out. He says, do not be, but I'm happy you're participating, praise God. And my mic's working this week, so we're not having a fit up here. All right. Do not be, if you were here last week, you know what I'm saying. I about backslid up here with the mic. All right. Do not be deceived. Hey, y'all, just pray for me when things like that happen and you can see I'm getting frustrated. I know I'm only human. Y'all hear what I'm saying? All right. Do not be deceived. My beloved brethren, listen to this. Listen to the wording. Every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. And comes down from the next word. Father. Stop right there. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father. Man, if I can get that into your heart, man, if we could get this, if think about it, if we as a church or if we as a people of God could get just this very act of God into our hearts, it would revolutionize the way people look at church. It would change the way people look at Christ. It would change the way people look at Christianity. That God is a Father. And nothing in my life that comes into my life that's good is from the enemy. Hey, let me flip it around. Nothing bad or anything bad, anything destructive, anything that's destroying that comes into my life, guess what? It's not from God. So sickness is not from God, right? Poverty is not from God. Depression is not from God. Yeah. Broken families, not from God, not from God, not from God. A baby being killed, not from God. I remember when the church was small, some of you may remember this, but I had a lady wanted to give her testimony in the middle of church back whenever we let people do that. She stood up and wanted to give her testimony. This is why we don't. We put it into this. She started saying how she was so blessed because her baby died. She got paid a bunch of money and it allowed her to pay off her house. Yeah, we shut that down quick, fast, and in a hurry. And that's when I said, you know what, from now on, we do video testimony. You want to give your testimony? That's great. We can do it on a video. Why? So we can make sure that what you're saying is God. And I told her, I said, ma'am, you're out of order, and that is not God. God don't kill people to get blessings. Right? Yeah, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end there is of his death. Man, and I just couldn't believe it. I thought, holy cow, I thought this was going to be a happy moment. It got negative pretty quick. But it's amazing how religious people, remember I was talking to you about traditions? Traditions, and I was telling you about religion and all these things that hinder us from seeing God as a caring father. What kind of father would kill his baby to pay off a bill? Y'all hearing what I'm saying, right? I mean, and for those of you that don't believe, how many of you were here whenever I did that? Anybody? Nobody was here whenever I did that? I know Michelle was. Melinda was. I have a few here. But the church was small. It was 100, 150 people. So, you know, small in comparison to now. But still, the point is, how many of you know that's crazy talk? Yeah, but it's amazing how people view God. And the problem is they view him as God and not as, and God as if, so, and I'm not talking about God we're talking about. I'm talking about they see him as a God. They don't see him as a father. If you will translate everything you know about God as a father, you'll end up, I mean, you'll be right there with where he wants you to be. He is a father. The desire of the master's heart is that you see him as a father. He wants you. He wants you. He delights in you seeing him as a father. One of the things about my life, not having a father, I always wanted birthday presents from my dad. Why? I don't know. My mom always got me birthday presents and all that. But I wanted a birthday present from my father. Once I got saved, whenever I got saved, my dad never did buy me a birthday present. But you know what? Every year, even to this day, God gets me a birthday present. And it'll come from somebody. He'll use someone to bless my life. But I know that's from God. Because here's the truth. Whenever I first got saved, I said, well, God, if my earthly father doesn't ever get me a birthday present and you're a father, what's up? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And I got a day that rolls around once a year. And I kid you not, I get a birthday present every year. And I don't resist it. I just receive it with gladness and joy. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? God uses people to bless? Absolutely. But know that it's from God. It's a gift from God the Father. So James 1 tells us, and so it's his goodness. Everybody say he's good. He's good. Listen to this, Psalms 105:5. For the Lord is, man, I tell you, before you go in for a job interview, you should say that. Before you go in to talk out a bill, you should say that. Before you put your kids to bed, you should tell them he's good. Man, he's good. It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. When people see how good he is, they can't resist him. I'm convinced. Look, matter of fact, the Bible even teaches that. Check this out. Look at Romans 2:4. It says, for this, or do not despise the riches of his goodness and his forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing it's the goodness of God that leads people to what? Repentance. Pastor Charlie, if you keep preaching that God is good, people just want to go and sin. Let me tell you this. They're sinning anyway. And the goodness of God actually draws people to say, God, I want to get right with you. When people can see how good he is, they'll walk in his forgiveness. And I'll be honest, they'll walk free from sin because they love God. I told this to Michelle, this is a long time ago. I said, babe, and this wasn't very bright, so men, if you're taking notes, don't take this one down. I remember telling Michelle, babe, you ain't never got to worry about me cheating on you. Never. Because I love God too much. Okay, that's not the right answer, y'all. It's not the right answer. All right, babe, am I right? That is not the right answer. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Do you guys hear my heart? My heart was, listen, Michelle, I love you, but I love God. And I want to live for God. And I want God to have my whole heart. I want God to have everything that I have. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I want God to have everything that I have. And because of that, I'll be loyal to you. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? So don't tell me a man that loves God, you know, will love his wife better. That's not true. A man that loves God sees the goodness of God and wants to be good to his family. Amen? Check this out. So we got God's goodness. Everybody say God's goodness. Now listen to this. Check this out, everybody. Everyone believes that God is good. Everybody in here, y'all believe it? Okay, now, next step. Do you believe God is good to you? Come on, you got to get there. A lot of times we look at everybody and we say, well, we know God's good for them and God's good. But what we're really saying is, but God's not good to me. Come on, God is good to you. God is good to you. And if he isn't, listen, it's not his fault. If he isn't, it's not his fault. His goodness is there for you to take. I assure you, my kids understand the goodness of daddy. You know the El Shaddai? El Shaddad at our house, all right? Dad can go get stuff. Dad has, well, no money. Michelle has money. But I can fix things. I can do anything in my kids' world. And listen, and the truth is, you know what? It delights me when they ask me to get involved. It delights me. It blesses me. Blesses me. Blesses me to give them. Hey, I give them things even when they don't ask for it. Sometimes it's just entertaining to give them things. I remember first time, I was working at the body shop. I was on my way home, and somebody put one of those big electrical four-wheelers out in their trash. I worked at a body shop. I stopped. I picked that thing up. Michelle, you remember that fire engine? I took it home. I put a 12-volt car battery in that bad boy. This thing was like, it was hell on wheels, man. I don't know if I can say that in church, but y'all get what I'm saying. I mean, it was on, man. This thing would scoot, right? And so check it out. I put Whitney in it. She didn't ask for this gift. I just felt a necessity to bless her. I kid you not, man. It's got a big battery strapped to the hood. It's a fire truck, right? Plastic, you know? And I'm like, man, this is the Barbie car that will bring up another Barbie car. She'll smoke you, man. Both engines wired forward. There is no reverse on this. I got both engines. I'm Tim Allen, man. I'm rewiring it. This baby kicks butt, man. All right? I tried to get it to where it would do a wheelie, but I thought that was a little extreme. But so I get this thing home. I'm going to ask Michelle. We pull her out in the yard. We had a swing set. Put Whitney in the thing. Well, you know, I forgot that at 4 or 5 years old, they understand pushing the pedal, but they don't understand letting up. Right? Even worse when it welds together because there's so much juice flowing through it. So I kid you not, she puts the foot down. Man, that little scoot, that thing took off. She's like, wee, around the yard. She goes right into the swing set. Bam, wheels are still spinning. I'm like, let up, let up. I'm running over there. She's got her foot off of it. The thing's welded. It's full blast. Had to unhook the battery terminal to get it to shut up. You know what I did then? I took the foot thing off and I put a toggle switch in case I needed to get to it with her. That thing was awesome though. And she didn't even ask for that gift. Yeah. It made me happy to give her something so awesome. I will have you know, my daughter's been driving for a while and she's pretty safe on the road. She's pretty safe. But hey, listen, here's the truth though. Here's my point. Sometimes we think that God only wants to bless us when we ask. I'm here to tell you he is a father. He's a father. And it delights him to bless you even when you don't ask. Yeah. Not only is he a father and he's good to you. Everybody say he's good to me. Check this out. Not only is he good to you, but check this. Oh, that just happened. Hold on just a second. Check this out. Not only is he a father and he's good to you, but check this. He wants this for your life. He wants to be gracious to you. His grace should flow through you. His grace. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you grace and mercy. How many of you know you're going to miss it? How many of you know, though, his grace is sufficient for your life? His grace is always sufficient for your life. Check this verse out, and I got a verse for you, of course. You know, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God may be able to make all grace abound to who? You. Come on, do you walk around saying, man, God's good to me, and God's grace is surrounding me? You should be. Should be speaking that. Make all grace abound toward you, that you always having sufficiency in what? Come on, man. That's where our faith should be. God, I want sufficiency in all things. I want sufficiency in all things. Because you're a good God. And your grace abounds in my life. Everybody say his grace abounds. Yeah, that's what it says. His grace abounds. His grace didn't just come in contact with you. It abounds to you. It abounds to you. Look at this. Grace abounds, having a sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance in every good work. That's the way God feels about you. Check this out. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the what? Throne of judgment. Is that what it says? Come to the throne of judgment. Come to the throne of get your licking. Come to the throne of get beat up. Come to the throne of you're no good and you're not worthy. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace and mercy. The grace and mercy of God. Man, what would we be without that? We'd be a wreck. Amen? Look at this, and we may have, watch this, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of our greatest need. Yeah, yeah. See, our tendency is this. Our tendency is to do what Adam and Eve did. When Adam and Eve messed up, they ran and hid from God because they disappointed God. That's what most people want to do. They want to run and hide from God when they disappoint God. My opinion would be you need to do the opposite. When you feel like you disappointed God, you know what you should do? You should run to God, because that's where you find grace and mercy in your time of need. And help, really. I've always cracked up at the idea of this, that people can get themselves into a mess, and they always say this, well, as soon as I get out of it, then I'll come to church. Okay, if the guy that got you into the trouble is running the show, wouldn't it behoove you to let someone else run the show? If you're driving a car and you run off into the ditch and you say, no, I can get it out. Just give me an hour. It might be who of somebody else to drive. Some people keep driving their life into a ditch over and over and over. And they go, well, you know, when I get it all straightened and figured out, then I'll let God take over. Well, there's an idea. Might be here a while. How about this? Won't you let God take over? He'll drive you up out of the ditch and his grace will abound in your life. Come on, amen? All right, last thing. Not only is his grace, here's the last thing you need to know about God. All right? He is a giver. Come on, he's a giver. He is a giver. His heart for you is giving. I think about John 3:16. It's a verse that everybody knows, but there's a lot that could be preached on it. Check it out. It says, for God so love that he gave. How much does he love you? Come on, he gave his only son for you that he gave. That he gave. Oftentimes it's amazing how people view God and they look at him as stingy. They look him at him as holding back, as not wanting to give. I'm here to tell you, man, God is a giver. He wants to give you. He wants to bless you. He wants to move in your life. Well, this just sounds like some self-esteem psychobabble. No, no, no. It's the heart of God the Father that he would give you, give you. The Bible says he'll give us richly all things to enjoy. Right? And I'm not just talking about that. How many of you know whenever it talks about God giving, he wants to give us healing spiritually, emotionally, mentally. He wants to give us all that our hearts desire. And everybody in here has a different desire of their heart. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Your desire may be different than my desire, right? Your desire may be save all the animals. My desire is let's eat them. It's a joke. Maybe that's a bad example. I don't know. But y'all get what I'm saying. Not all the animals. Not our dog. That's overseas. But anyway, come on. I don't even know what I'm saying. He's a giver. So listen, when we put it all together, here's what we know. That God is a father. And the heart of a father is revealed in three major ways, I believe. Number one, he is a God who thinks good towards you. He wants you to experience his goodness. He's a good God. He's a good God, right? He's a good God. He's good. As a dad, I want to be good to my kids, right? Not only is he good, he is also gracious. He gives you grace. He abounds in grace. He can abound in grace not because you don't deserve justice, but that Jesus provided justice on the cross so you could have the grace of God. Yeah. You can have the grace of God. And not only the grace of God, but the giving nature of him. The giving nature of him. The giving nature. It is the heart of a father to give to the child. It is the heart of God to give to you all that he can give to you. All that you can take, man. He's willing to pour it out. He gave you his best. Right? Jesus. How much more would he give you little things? I mean, he gave you the best thing heaven has to offer. He gave it to you. Amen? Amen? How much more will he give you anything else you ask for? God, I need help. He'll give you help. God, I need wisdom. Bible says he'll give you wisdom. God, I need healing. He'll give you healing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he will. He will. He's a good dad. He's good. He's gracious. And he's giving. That's what you need to know. If you can filter everything you know about the Bible through the fact that he is a father, you'll never go wrong. You will never go wrong. You will never misinterpret the Bible. If you see a Bible verse that is interpreted as if he's an abusive father, put sickness on his kids or something, I promise you, there's something in that interpretation you're missing. Because he's a father. And he reveals himself to his children. You are sons and daughters of God. And you should claim that sonship. You should claim that daughtership. You should claim yourself as a son and daughter of God. Amen? Amen. No father delights in the torment of his kids. Right? Come on, that's awesome, isn't it? Give the Lord a big clap offering. Let's pray.